Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J.
Hey.
And I want to let you guys know today, those that's listening in on their phones, those that's listening in on the internet, I want to let you guys know that we got a really special guy coming on today. And, you know, but, I mean, I just don't know what to say because this guy here is just great, all right, with the work he's doing in the communities. But before I go any further, I would like to for Ms. J to take the pleasure of bringing him on.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone. And if you're listening online, please don't hesitate to dial 607-203-336 and select 1 to join the conversation. And if you're listening by phone, all you have to do is push 1 and you'll be added to the queue to join the conversation. So today we have a very special guest. He's an activist, I will say, on transmitted diseases, HIV, AIDS, and so forth. He has been doing this work for a long time, Mr. Gilbert Brown, and it is awesome to have him today because this week we had National AIDS Day, and I don't think that the African-American community is really aware of how AIDS affects our community. We are the most affected by HIV, the African-American community. So before we get started and talking about that a little bit more, Mr. Gilbert, you've been on the show before, but just give this audience a little bit about yourself. Tell them a little bit about you.
Okay. Well, good evening, good afternoon to all of you. I'm so excited that you guys asked me to come back. Thank you, Mr. John. Thank you, Ms. J. It's always
all
a
right.
pleasure talking with you. I'm currently one of the advocates for the Louisiana AIDS Advocacy Network. We decriminalize HIV and AIDS laws that discriminate against those persons that are HIV or have a positive AIDS diagnosis. I've been working in the field for the last 10 to 12 years. I'm a counselor. I'm a tester. I'm a community advocate as well for our city. I do a lot of talks. I do a lot of HIV 101 classes. I deal with our social group, which is a men's group that we have in Lake Charles every other Tuesday night. And it's just a place special for those persons that are positive, those men that are positive with HIV. And we discuss different topics that take their mind off of the diagnosis, off of the disease, and give them some kind of hope to life, as well as education about viral loads and CD4 counts, what medicines work, which ones don't. Just the different things that's available to the community as a whole, where they can come and get education, where they can come and get tested, where they can come and feel welcome and you won't be judged. There's no stigma, and so that you won't feel fearful. You know what I'm saying? We try different things to make a person come in for testing. You know, we discuss HIV and AIDS, but also we discuss gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, all those types of diseases. And I'm just elated to be one that I say God is using in the epidemic to help end the epidemic.
Absolutely. Now, we know that as I stated, African Americans are most affected by HIV. And earlier we were talking about the South. Why don't you elaborate on that a little bit about how, because I think a lot of people are really naive. I even heard this lady, older lady at the gym the other day said, old people don't have to worry about HIV. And I said, you've got to be crazy to even think that.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but it's true. Some of our senior citizens, Mr. John, Ms. J, they act as if they are immune to it. Let me put a little something in our senior citizens' ear. You have to remember there have been drugs that have been created in order for their sex life to increase. But what they forget about, these older men love these younger women. These younger women are not telling these older men their statuses. Or even men to men relationships, women to women relationships. See, that they are sleeping around with each other and not discussing the most important thing. I need to know whether or not if you are STD free. Now, true enough, if HIV is under control, we have this thing called U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. That is out there. But you have to be on your medication, visit with the doctor constantly to make sure that your numbers are undetectable so that you don't transmit. And what's happening is some people are not coming in to get tested in the South. So many people are afraid of stigma. They're afraid of denial. Why? Because they're afraid of what the public might say. The public pay attention to only the negative instead of lifting those people that need us. Now, in the South, so many times we hear, oh, HIV is bad. Yes, HIV is bad. Yes, it is. Let's think about it. The South have many metropolitan areas, and instead of them addressing the HIV epidemic or what have you, guess what they do? They scapegoat to these different little, what I call bathhouses. They have sex with whomever, and they go home to their wives or to their spouses. That's not right. You know, that's why so many times, I'll say this in Louisiana, we don't address it like we should, because you have to address something like this and for anything to change at the top, the ones that's making the rules, so that down in South we can reach to the masses of the people. But when you can't reach anyone at the top because of the folk in the middle way is stopping you or cutting your head off with conversation, with that thought, like Ms. J said, oh, we don't have to worry about that. We old folk. What? Really? You are the ones that we have to get to, because you are our senior citizens. You are our people that we learn from. You know,
right.
We were taught you better mind that old person. You better mind. Yes, but now the old person is not talking. They don't want to speak about their diagnosis.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to be labeled as having HIV. You know, recently, a couple of months ago, we had a couple persons that were diagnosed, and they were diagnosed with HIV. My goodness, very well up in age. If I tell you the age, you might hang up on me. But it's out there, older people. Older people really need to listen and get themselves tested, especially
right.
In the South.
Well, you know, Minister Gilbert, not only in the South, this is going on throughout the United States. And especially in African-American communities. And
correct.
Like you said, a lot of time, you know, you may go out, especially older men, they may go out and they, you know, and, you know, and have sex with a younger woman, you know, and catch it. And they don't really know, and they don't say nothing because, like, they shame, you know.
Yeah.
It's sad and it's bad.
Well, you know, I'm not defending the young girls, but they're not going to tell their sugar daddy because that stops that sugar. So
that's right.
You know, they just have to be proactive in protecting themselves. And I think it's more hush-hush in the Bible Belt, which I say the South, because L.A. and places like that, New York, they're all open. But when you get into the southern states, the Bible Belt states especially, it is hush-hush. Just like the gentleman wrote the Down Low book, who gave his wife AIDS, I believe he did. I read the book. And he kept it a secret because that's what they do. Because in the Bible Belt states, it's more of a shaming. You know, like in most metropolitan states, people are cities like L.A. and New York. Most of them are pretty straight about what you're going to get. You're going to get what you get. But when when you're dealing in the South, a lot of people are, you know, I'm not going to say so-called Christian because that wouldn't be nice, but they have that Christian title, that good title, and they want to tarnish it. So they rather keep it a secret than to tarnish that image that they, you know, other people perceive them to have. You know,
so that is correct.
It's dangerous when you are so, and to me it's a form of being selfish, because if you're not selfish, then you will be honest about where you stand. I think it takes a selfish person to go out there and know they have a disease, and it's ways to have sex and still be protected with HIV, by the way. And not tell that partner. I think that's really a selfish act.
Right.
Now, another question I wanted to ask you, and you can, you know, let the audience know. You just came back from the White House, okay, and I guess it was a big thing, you know, that you guys had over there. Explain to the audience what happened over there. You know, what was it all about and your experience?
Okay. Well, it was called the United States Conference on AIDS for 2017, and this year was held in Washington, D.C., by Paul Kawada, who is the CEO over the organization of HIV and AIDS, and one of the leaders of the epidemic in trying to end AIDS. In this particular conference this year, they addressed many issues concerning that are surrounded with HIV. Of course, they discussed the new testing devices. They discussed ways that communities are being affected by this virus, and how some people are not addressing locally in their cities when it comes down to HIV. Now, some of the things that they were saying, like Ms. J was talking about, let me see, I don't want to get in trouble. The churches are not addressing the issue. They are sweeping it under the rug, not allowing people to come and educate their congregations, not wanting to talk about it. I say a lot of learning for our African-American communities come from the pulpit. What the pulpit don't institute or teach, they don't take with them. If a minister, a pastor, a deacon or whoever have the strength or the platform to speak about HIV, take that opportunity. Learn about HIV. And see, at the United States Conference on AIDS, USCA, that's what we discussed. And it saddened my heart that they would talk about the churches not wanting to address that issue. As a minister, I know my pastor, we talk all the time. Like for World AIDS Day, he give me 30 minutes of service to talk about HIV and AIDS. When it comes back around for the in February for the National Black HIV and AIDS Awareness Day, he's going to give me some more time to talk about it. See, those things in the South or whatever is what we need to address. And the United States Conference on AIDS, they had doctors, they had lawyers, they had professors, they had different companies. I mean, it had hundreds and thousands of people that were there to try to find a way to end the epidemic. We had transgender, we had MSMs, we had lesbians, homosexuals, African Americans, Asians, Indians, I mean, all genres of races and creeds and colors and sizes of people there trying to figure out how can we end the epidemic. You know what one lady said? She said, you know, we all have our battles in our different cities and our different towns and our different places. But those persons that have the metropolitan areas, they have the finances to get out there and do what they need to do. If we look at our rural communities, those communities that are left out a lot of those people that's in those metropolitan areas, they go to those rural areas because they're small and nobody knows them. And they're just sleeping with whomever they want. They go back to their metropolitan areas because nobody knows them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one thing that they mentioned at the United States Conference. And I met so many, like, for instance, I met Maxine Waters. What a wonderful woman. What a wonderful woman. And she was talking about her experience with dealing with the ending of in the 80s. And she was just letting everyone know is that the fight is not over.
Sure.
There may be medicines created to minimize the virus, but the virus still lives on. There's no cure. You know, we have all of these myths that Magic Johnson is cured and this one and that one is cured because they got money. Stop it. There's no truth to that. Don't do that. There is no cure for HIV. If there was a cure for HIV, guess what would happen? People would be buying it, trying to find a way for Medicaid to pay for it.
That's right.
You know, people will be doing that. You know, and one of the things that they did at the conference this year, they discussed PrEP. PrEP is a pre-exposure prophylactic, which means it's a prevention for or from HIV. This is a pill. The drug name is Truvada. And what happens is you take it all your life. And it's a 98-99% accuracy rate of a person not contracting HIV, especially if the person is undetectable. If a doctor deems you undetectable, you are untransmittable. But it's not sad that you would not tell the person that you are positive because you're undetectable. And that's what's happening. A lot of times people are on PrEP, but they stop taking the medication because they think they're fine. Oh, I think I'm going to be good. No, you need someone to follow you. The other person that's spreading this disease or whatever, they have this disease, and some of them do care, and then some of them don't care. You have to be careful who you lay with. You have to be careful where you're going. And I can honestly say in Washington, D.C., they have sung that message way out, way loud and clear. You got to be careful who you say yes to.
You know
it's insane. Day and time that people are now practicing safe sex, too. I mean,
correct. Let's
be honest.
It's another prevention method.
Right.
Right.
Not, and if you can go to any drugstore, you know, Walmart, anywhere, you know.
Yes, and all of these little, like right here in Lake Charles, Louisiana, we have a resource and wellness center. We're always giving free condoms. You don't have to pay for that stuff. They're free right here. We have some lubrication and pamphlets and information. You know, and it saddens me that the people are not taking advantage of the resources that's available in their community. They're not trying to learn about it. It's there, but we don't have the funding to go out. Oh, I'll go here, I'll go over there. Because, you know, everybody,
right.
Somebody, let me not say
yeah.
everybody want to get paid for their work that they're doing. But if you're a person, and I don't mean to toot my own horn, if you're a person like me, I will test you on a Sunday even if the office is closed. Just to give you some closure and a peace of mind. Let's talk about your risk behaviors and how you place yourself at risk.
That's right. That's right.
We have a caller. We have a board sale right now. I mean, you know, people is definitely calling in, but we have one person want to either ask a question or elaborate on something. Okay. Let's let them in, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
It's Lakeisha Ladders, and I'm from California, Sacramento.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'm hearing your story now. This is so crazy. I'm from Louisiana, Baton Rouge, and my cousin is 18. Her first time she slept with an older man, he gave her HIV. Now, she's 18, and now she's older, and she has two kids. But for her to come out to the family and for what that man did to her, and what she had to go through, it was just unbelievable. Like, it was so, I mean, that made me so scared. Like, it's really bad down there.
Right.
They really do a lot of undercover stuff, and the guys are not telling nobody, you know. It's just, there's a shame. It's ridiculous. But she really, to watch my cousin suffer like that, you know, but they feel that because they have that medication that it's okay for them to, oh, it's a cure, so they could go do whatever, it's fine, whatever, so you don't preach it as much. But, yes, that it needs to be taught more. It definitely does.
Right.
It definitely does. I mean, I watch my cousin. I'm also surprised to have her have kids. When I found out she had kids, I'm like, how can you have kids in that deep age? Because doing that transfer to the baby, but
it's
the medication
possible.
That they're giving me.
That is
no,
right.
Yeah, it is.
Medication.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's definitely possible. You know, I wouldn't even want to put my child, you know, away of that. But, yeah, it's crazy. It's too much. It's going too far. But they don't teach it down there at all. They don't.
It's really a hush-hush, Lakeisha, because I'm in Jacksonville, Florida right now, take care of my family. And out here, Jacksonville is number one in HIV. And every time somebody look at me, I see HIV. I don't even talk to them.
Girl, you know what? I'm the same way. Like, I'm very to myself.
Paranoid.
I do not, like, I'm so paranoid. Like, girl, look, they got to come with papers. It's that bad. It's that bad because everybody's so hush-hush. It's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be
and
by
see,
myself
and,
than to be.
Right. And, you know, let me say this. And please don't take this the wrong way, no one. But that's some of the things why people that are positive don't come out and tell their business. Because
mm-hmm.
they're afraid of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
See, and what happens is when rejection set in, guess what they do? They go back into the closet and they hide it from everyone. Now, I'm not giving them excuses or letting them slide or anything like that, but sometimes some people, they do that just because it hurts to talk about it and nobody want to hear it. Then they feel lonely. They get depressed. They become all kind of things. Now,
absolutely right. Because I was scared to talk to my cousin, and I was scared to be around her. Like, I was kind of scared because, you know, they don't give you that much back, you know, back in that day. So I was kind of like, oh, my God, if I touch her. And not to only say that, my father that I never actually met, and I finally got to meet him because he was dying, and he was dying of AIDS. I lost an uncle to AIDS. So I do know, and we're all from the South.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. we don't talk about it much. You know, here you don't talk because it's so free here, you know, like – but down there, it's so hush hush. I mean, especially if they're coming out of prison, it's like it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I heard about people.
Minister Gilbert, I wanted you to go back. I wanted to go back on something. You was talking about a pill called PrEP. Okay, what is that pill? Is that pill for somebody that already have the disease, or if that pill is for someone that don't have the disease and want to protect themselves?
Right. It's for the person that is not infected with HIV or AIDS. A person that's trying to prevent that pill, it keeps you from getting or receiving or being infected with HIV.
And that's stopping them from telling the person that they actually have it because they feel, well, they're not going to get it. I'm okay. So they kind of holding it more, I feel.
Mhm.
Mhm. I mean, yeah. I think I wouldn't. You know. Yeah.
You said yeah.
I mean, but that whole subject that you guys are talking about, like, I truly know, because they do have them little shacks in the back where you go mess with little, you know, women or whatever. And he's absolutely right. They'll leave. They'll leave the town. You will never hear from them again or see them. You know, you'd be like, wow, what happened? Just like my cousin. You know, it does happen. Her first time she had sex, she had caught HIV and did not know until she got sick.
Correct.
Mr. Gilbert, explain to the audience on some of the symptoms that a person should really look for in order for them to, you know, just in case, you understand, some symptoms they look for just, you know, for HIV.
Some of the symptoms are really not. You see what word I want to use? They're not talked about. Because HIV don't have a face, it don't have a look.
Yep.
Right.
It don't have a size. It doesn't have a brain. You get what I'm saying? So it could be white. It could be purple. It could be pink. It could be orange. It could be black.
Yep.
You know. So the symptoms, you don't know the symptoms. You know, a lot of people, they ask me, well, what to look for? I can't tell you what to look for because HIV is different with everybody.
Yep.
Everybody is different. There are many, many strands of HIV.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because if I give you a symptom, I'd be in error because that's the same symptom to having a flu.
Yeah, there
you
go.
You got HIV.
Yep.
You know, that's not the case. I can't tell you that you get a common cold, or you get this and you get this first, and then you get, no, that's not how it works, because some of the same symptoms is the flu. Some of the same symptoms are syphilis, gonorrhea.
Yeah.
You know, so they share different things. So I wouldn't want to get into the line of giving you a symptom of HIV. Just know this. If you are highly sexually active, you need to get a test. And, yes, I said you need to receive a test every okay, and especially if you're out there having unprotected sex. Okay, and you really are not knowing the other person's status.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
People are
and it's so funny that I'm so scared. I would be more scared of here than, here than at home, just because of the fact that if it's more open here, because it's so much colder there, it's just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different.
It's scary, period.
It's scary, it's scary all over the board, you know what I mean? But it's just, here is like, it's like, but back in the day when you think of somebody's age, you think, okay, they're sick, they look sick, so okay, you know, that's how it kind of come off. So you was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now all of a sudden the medication, they're so normal, you do not know anything at all unless you actually go get the paperwork done.
That's correct.
So, you know, you actually, you know, that's why I have four boys, and
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, caller, thank you for calling in. Please stay on the line and stay on the line to join us, okay, because we have some really, really good information that Minister Gilbert going to be passing along. So stay on the line with us, okay?
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Kikisha. Gilbert,
you
want to talk about HIV and AIDS? We talk about HIV, but let's talk a little bit about AIDS, because I think some people mix HIV and AIDS up.
Right, that is correct.
Yeah, so let's distinguish the differences between HIV and AIDS.
Okay. HIV is the virus that causes AIDS. Okay. Now, you can live with HIV for many, 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 many years, and it never progressed to AIDS. AIDS is a disease. You cannot catch a disease before catching the virus that causes it. Get it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So far? to a person that understands viral load and CD4 counts, a viral load detects the amount of virus that's in on your bloodstream. A CD4 count lets you know how effective or how diminished your white T cell count is. So let's say, for instance, it's been 3 months and you've been tested 3 months ago. At first, when they did lab work on you, your viral load was, let's say, I don't know, viral load was 23,000. And your CD4 count was 8,000. Well, at that point, you don't have AIDS. At that point, right then and there, you have what's called HIV. The only time that you receive the diagnosis of AIDS is when it falls below 200, when your CD4 count falls below 200. That's when you are classified as having AIDS. And I want people to understand that. You cannot get AIDS without receiving HIV first. You have to be tested. All tests that are here are ran to test the virus of HIV. 3 months, they test you again. If your CD4 count has dropped below 200, then they have to diagnose you as having AIDS. You know, we've had people come into our office with a CD4 count of 19 within the first month of being diagnosed with HIV. And then you have those persons that come into the office with a viral load of 6 point something million, which means it's a brand new early detection, which means you were just detected. Whoever you came in contact with was very, very, very highly infectious.
Wow.
That's so scary.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, you see how you said it's so scary? That's why some people don't like me to talk, because
you know,
I give it to them real.
Scared.
And I will not ever hold back the truth
from a person that really wants to educate themselves about this disease, about this virus, because they need to hear it from somebody. And me being a minister, guess what? God is going to hold me accountable for not giving the truth.
That's you're absolutely right. But I say it's scary because, you know, and not to talk about black folks because I love y'all because I'm black too, you know that. But black folks, they only move when they get scared or hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm. They only move when it becomes close to their family members.
Absolutely. And that's why I say that it's scary because they need to be scared so they can be proactive in their living. You know, young people think they're invincible. They think they don't have to worry about nothing. They just think they got it all figured out. And old people crazy, thinking it don't help the help generation. You know, so they need to be shocked.
Right.
Scared, shocked, or whatever.
With reality.
Something about it. We can't sit around and keep pretending it's not happening to our community when we're the most affected community.
Right. And that's the thing. There's so many things on the Internet that a person can pick up and read from the Internet about HIV and AIDS or whatever. Learn, read, understand what it is, understand how it's contracted, understand how it's spread, you know, and also get into the thing of learning how to reduce your own risk.
Yes.
Reduce the risk prevention methods out there. Take advantage of those condoms. Take advantage of those dental dams. Take advantage of those flavored lubrications, those different things. If you're so sexually active and you enjoy sex so much, protect yourself and protect the person that you're sleeping with. If I don't care if you're sleeping with 8 people. Use protection.
That's real.
Use protection. Yes. Because guess what? You're going to save your life from syphilis and gonorrhea as well.
Yeah, because penicillin don't work on those anymore, people. You just can't go to the doctor no more and get a shot. I read, Gilbert.
There's a regimen that you got to have now for syphilis, and it's once every week. If you miss any one of those shots, you got to start all over again.
That's right.
And they tell me those shots are not easy to take. Those shots are painful.
Right. I read.
Getting these things that you can't even wash off.
Tell them about it.
Now, what other type of diseases out there in the communities that people should be aware of besides gonorrhea, syphilis, and AIDS and HIV?
Well, there are some that we need to pay attention to: Hep C, hepatitis, trichomonas. We need to pay attention to, and see, a lot of times, also one of those things that at first it would not show up in the male body. A couple of months ago, I was talking to our doctor over at the clinic where I work, and we had a staff meeting, and he was informing us that HPV, which is, I can't pronounce it, the Humanoma Papillonia virus, is showing, and it's rampant with all the males, all African-American males. At first, there was no detection or no symptoms or no signs within the African-American body, of the male body. It was just the women that were coming up with the infection. But now he says, it's
again?
So bad that it's showing up in the mouth like little sores.
Yeah, I've seen, they're actually doing commercials for that particular disease.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and it's happening all over, especially in the metropolitan areas. HPV, and see, now what they're doing, Office of Public Health, I was talking to someone, teenagers that are entering where they start to kiss on people, that 13, 14, 15 age, they are pushing that these children get these shots, these HPV shots, to prevent them from going through that experience with HPV.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're listening to me on this radio, talk to your children about HPV. Talk to them about the many different diseases that's out there, because these diseases do not play. They have no name, they have no age, and they have no color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mr. John, and that's some of the things. And see, that's another thing. Hep C. Hep C takes about 20 to 30 minutes to die once it hit the air. You could be on a toilet seat and receive Hep C from somebody. See, that's different things. Hep C, yes, sir.
Why you're supposed to squat in public places. Do not use, don't believe those paper covers protect you, because they don't. You take your own sanitizer, sanitize your hands, and squat and get out. I'm telling you what I know. John, you better
that
read up website, baby boo. Yeah. Because people are, you
the
know,
CDC is giving out so much information as well for those persons that really need.
I'm sorry, Gil, but I just want to say one more thing. You know, like on the grocery carts, it's a bunch of diseases
right.
that people be having touching those carts. Wipe them grocery
right.
carts off. Sanitize
right.
your hands, because I'm telling you, grocery carts be carrying stuff too.
Right. And it's not saying that you're being bougie, but you're protecting you, and especially if you have small children. You know what I'm saying? You have family, so you have to wipe things off that you're going to be touching constantly. You know, that's why they made those wipes available in those grocery stores with carts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why? Because at first, remember, they didn't do that.
They sure didn't.
Which means they put those wipes there for reasons and purpose. What do you think they're there for? Because to stop the flu, the colds, and the transmitted things and all kinds. You know, you have to get educated about these diseases in these communities, these
yeah.
communicable diseases. The CDC have workers called disease intervention specialists that if your name come up in their system, they come and knock at your door. I need
mm-hmm.
you to come get tested. I need you to come
you
get
know,
tested. And they will never reveal a person's name, but they will give them the opportunity to come in to receive a test at either their PCP, and if you don't go to them and let them know that you've been tested, they're going to ask for the paperwork to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm
okay.
You know, I wanted to ask you another question, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Minister Gibbons. Why is it that in the communities, what you're saying on this radio show is not really passed on in the communities? I mean, like at the
uh-huh.
I'm quite sure they do their best, you know.
Uh-oh.
But I wonder why, you know. Why is it not passed
yes,
on
sir.
Like that?
Uh-oh. Ooh, Mr. John. many times things are not discussed because it's all about who controls, who's
okay.
in control, who has the power. Sometimes it feels as if it don't relate to them. They don't need that discussion. Sometimes the information, we can send it to every single, let's say this, we can send it, all the information to every single church. You may have one or two that's going to talk about it because they didn't experience some things with people, with persons. But then you have some of the bigger congregations, oh, no, don't announce that. We don't need that. And they're forgetting that they too were once out in the street. You have not been saved all your life.
That's
just like
right.
what you used to do back in the day, you have people that are currently doing what you used to do.
Oh,
but now that
right.
you're so educated and you're so at the top now, you're forgetting about the community people that are living on these streets. You know, I just heard the other day that Lake Charles have over 400 and something people that are homeless.
Mm.
Over 400 and something people that have no places to go. We have one men's shelter and one women's shelter. And you got to be out of these places at a certain time, which means you wander in the streets trying to get back to the place before somebody take your bed.
Wow.
You know, it's
yeah.
sad. And not addressing issues. The African-American community have a lot of power in their churches. Instead of them doing health talks about HIV, about these STDs. They don't want to talk about those, but they will talk about sugar diabetes. They will talk about high blood pressure. They will talk about cancer. Everybody
right.
is having sex,
you're
sir.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody is having sex, sir.
Sex.
Let's talk about STD
right.
and give them the information. Put the power, put the tools in their hands.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. Nah, yes.
Okay, let's open the door. Let's talk about it. If I need to come and talk to your board, I will. I don't mind. I will answer every single one of the questions that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, we have to fight this thing head on. You cannot be scared of any STD. If you out there doing stuff that you have no business doing, you need to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, we have another caller.
Okay.
We have another caller, and we got like about 5 minutes left on the show. So let's see what this caller here got to say, okay? Hold on.
Absolutely.
All right.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, everyone. Hi, John. Hi, Mr. J.
Hello.
This is Hey, y'all. No, been a while. This is Andrew Finch. I am from Longview, Texas, a small city. And I'm sorry for tuning in late, but I almost forgot about it. But it's a very great, great topic and great story. And hey, Mr. Gilbert, how you doing, sir? Mr. Brown.
Hello, Mr. Longview.
Right, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I love what you're talking about. I'm sorry, I got to go back and watch the whole thing. And man, you're very well spoken. But the good thing about this topic is that you're talking about real everyday stuff. That's something that we all can relate to, no matter your religion, color, or background. And that's a great topic. And John asked some serious questions. You gave some serious, straightforward answers about concerning about why they don't put this out to the public. And that is a great question. Do you think the main agenda is that you think the people just, like you said, really just don't care because it don't relate to them, or mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad because you would think that people want to take preventive action instead of wait till it's too late to do something, because that's basically when some people get some of these illnesses and diseases, like some disease that they claim there's no cure for, which I kind of believe it is, because I don't want you to have it. That's my opinion. And so do you think there's a bigger motive for is keeping people sick so they can sell drugs?
Well, one of the things I've heard that as well, a lot of people, and let me say this, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. I would not bash you about your opinion, and that's rightfully yours, okay?
Right.
And that's what's happening in our communities. People are not allowed to have an opinion. They want everyone to speak and think the same thing. No, we weren't created that way. We were not created that way. You know what I'm saying? So now I think what has happened, yes, it takes millions and billions of dollars to treat many people that have been diagnosed with HIV and AIDS. And a lot of people, a lot of times, they fall through the cracks because they don't have health care insurance. They don't have means to getting, but programs have been developed for those persons. The problem is they're not being offered.
Yeah.
So when it's not being offered, they don't know the educational questions to ask the people that are in power to give them the resource.
Okay, next question, real quick. How can we change that? How can we make it a little bit more? Any way we can put the information out there where the people can answer for themselves, since people's not coming to them, that we can bring it mm-hmm. out of places they can contact.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I like to do is, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mr. Gilbert.
Go ahead and answer the question, Minister Gilbert, and then Ms. J can start closing out.
Okay. Well, what I like to do is always tell someone, get on the internet, since that's the fastest way, or use your telephone. Look for different centers, resource and wellness centers in your areas that have this HIV information, and go head on. There are different organizations that are built within each state that is trying to help in the epidemic. Trust me, there are people out there. It's just not talked about because no one does what? No one talks about HIV and AIDS. No one wants to really push it. But that's one of the stigmas that's happening. No one wants to discuss it. Just like Judith Light and Maxine Waters stated at the United States Conference on AIDS, we are the face of HIV that's going to change it, the epidemic. Us, the forefront, the people that are here at the conference, the people that are in the rural areas working at the CBOs, which is the community-based organizations, or the AIDS service organization, ASO. And see, and those people, those persons need to push and push and push. But the only time people will push is if they will listen to a person that's really diagnosed with HIV before they listen to someone that's not.
All right.
But the people that are diagnosed don't want to tell their story.
Okay.
Because of stigma and denial.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Ms. J, you can start closing this out. We only got 25 seconds.
I'm good. All right, well, first of all, thank everyone for joining us. Thank each two people that joined the conversation. We really appreciate it. It's always good to have that feedback from other people. Mr. Gilbert, if you had something positive to say in a couple of seconds to the audience, what would it be?
Teamwork makes the dream work. Let's
Hello.
Do this together.
Absolutely.
All right.
Neil Brown.
Well, I want to thank Minister Gilbert and the rest of the people that called in for supporting us. And thank you, Mr. Gilbert, for calling in and sharing all of this good knowledge with us. And with that said, I'm going to pass it on to you, Ms. J.
Absolutely. Again, thank you, Mr. Gilbert. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you, everybody. Again, we appreciate your support. And until next time, let's work together to make it better for all of us. And together, we can make a difference. Peace and blessings. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.